ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ.
ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ 7 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 9. ಪ್ರಹ್ಲಾದ್ ಪೆಸಿಫೈಸ್ ದಿ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ವಿತ್ ಪ್ರೇಯರ್ಸ್. ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ 22. ತಥೋ ಮಿ ನಿತ್ಯ ಭಜಿತಾತ್ಮಗುಣ ಸ್ವಧಾಮ್ನಾ ಕಾಲೋ ವಶೀಕೃತ ವಿಸೃಜ್ಯ ವಿಸರ್ಗ ಶಕ್ತಿ ಚಕ್ರೇ ವಿಸೃಷ್ಟಂ ಅಜಯಸ್ವರ ಷಡೋಸರೇ ನಿಸ್ಪೀಡ್ಯಮಾನಂ ಉಪಕರ್ಷ ವಿಭೋ ಪ್ರಪನ್ನಂ.
ಸತ್ವ
ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್. My dear Lord, O Supreme Great, you have created this material world of 16 constituents, but you are transcendental to their material qualities. In other words, these material qualities are under your full control and you are never conquered by them. Therefore, the time element is your representation. My Lord, O Supreme, no one can conquer you. As for me, however, I am being crushed by the wheel of time, and therefore I surrender fully unto you. Now kindly take me under the protection of your lotus feet. Purport. The wheel of material miseries is also a creation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he is not under the control of the material energy. Rather, he is the controller of the material energy, whereas we, the living entities, are under its control. When we give up our constitutional position, Jiva Swarupa Hai, Krishna Nitya Das, the Supreme Personality of Godhead creates this material energy and her influence over the conditioned soul. Therefore, he is the Supreme, and only he can deliver the conditioned soul from the onslaught of material nature. Ma me bhaya prapadyante maya metam tarantite. Maya, the external energy, continuously imposes upon the conditioned soul the suffering of the threefold miseries of this material world. Therefore, in the previous verse, Prahlad Maharaj prayed to the Lord, "But for your lordship, no one can save me." Prahlad Maharaj has also explained that a child's protectors, his parents, cannot save the child from the onslaught of birth and death, nor can medicine and a physician can save one from death. Nor can a boat or a similar means of protection save a person drowning in the water. For everything is controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, suffering humanity must surrender to Krishna, as Krishna himself demands in the last instruction of Bhagavad Gita, "Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam saranam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma sachah." Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. All of human society must take advantage of this offer and thus be saved by Krishna from the danger of being crushed by the wheel of time, the wheel of past, present and future. The word nispidyamanam, being crushed, is very significant. Every living entity in the material conditions is actually being crushed again and again. And to be saved from this position, one must take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord, then one will be happy. The word prapannam is also very significant, for unless one fully surrenders to the Supreme Lord, one cannot be saved from being crushed. A criminal is put in prison and punished by the government, but the same government, if it likes, can release the criminal from imprisoned life. Similarly, we must know conclusively that our material condition of suffering has been allotted to us by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if we want to be saved from this suffering, we must appeal to the same controller. Thus, one can be saved from this material condition. Hare Krishna. So in this particular verse, Prahlad Maharaj is emphasizing how one has no other way but to surrender to the Supreme Lord. And his prayers are so nice. and so many things is discussing and worth speaking about and hearing about it. But one particular aspect I have chosen from this particular verse is that concept of time. He is saying the Lord is representing, the time is representing the Lord, and how one is crushed under this cycle of time again and again. So now actually it is much more better to discuss about concept of surrender and all these topics. But I have chosen this particular topic of time because I know most of you don't have time to discuss about time. And with your permission and blessings, like Prabhupada disciples are here, please give your blessings, because subject is very complex, and I'll be speaking some portion from the science also. So please tolerate and give your blessings so that I can give you something. So actually, there is a saying, there is a quote actually by one Western author. He says, "Time is free, but it is priceless. It is available free, but it is very valuable, priceless. You can't own time, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you cannot keep it, but you can spend it." So unlike the other material objects of this world, just like sometimes devotee distribute prasadam in our ashram, they say you consume as much as you want, but don't take it, don't keep it. But time is such an element, you can never keep it. Always you can spend it. So that's what he is saying. You cannot keep it, but you can spend it. Once you have lost it, you can never get it back. So this is time. It's an element that is present in this creation, and it's a very peculiar nature in itself. So people ask, what is time? It's a very difficult question. Suppose I ask you, what is time? Then you may say, it is a waste of time to discuss this question. Or you may say, I wish it is 9:15. So, but actually this topic is very much pondered by so many philosophers throughout the centuries, throughout the creation. And so many scientists thought about it, and hardly they can conclude, reached any conclusion. And especially, people say, time is what changes things. Just like things happen because of time, changes things. Sun is rising, sun is setting, so the things are changing. So that's what time they think. Or somebody may say, like Albert Einstein, he said, time is what a clock reads. So you may wonder, this is something anybody can answer. But when Einstein says, actually he thought about it a lot before saying it. So like throughout this history, many scientists have tried to understand this concept of science, concept of time. And it was very, very perplexing for each of them. Basically, the scientist, what is their way of understanding? They think everything is very simple. I can observe, I can experiment to confirm my observations, and I understand it, and then I exploit the material nature. That is the way they go about it. And they think everything is under their purview of understanding. It is possible. And they think everything is simple. But as they try to understand, they find that things are very complex and difficult to control also. But when they start, they always think that things are simple. And I don't need God, I don't need religion. And religion is something about mysticism. Religion is mystic and nothing to do with the reality world of reality. It is something separate. But actually, till it was Srila Prabhupada, people may think like that religion is mysticism. But when Prabhupada came and distributed the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam, we can see practically in every aspect religion has something to say about, including time. Nobody ever thought about it, that religion can also speak about time. Like Bhagavad Gita says, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, time I am, the destroyer of everything. And this is something no scientist can ever thought about, this particular statement. We'll just discuss about it as we go about. So another thing Prabhupada said, like Gaurang Prabhu was telling us in council meeting, I think Giriraj Swami told him that once Prabhupada said he has come to this world for two reasons. Now you may be thinking, what are the two reasons? You may guess in your mind, but he said, first, to give Krishna consciousness to all, and second, to cross the scientists. He said it like, once he said it like that. So, because these, they have done a lot about understanding time, but actually, you'll see, all this understanding actually leads to a lot of confusion and wrong conclusions. And the scientific knowledge is something that is very appealing and agitating to mind, but ultimately it leaves one in a lot of anxiety, because there is no actual conclusions. While when you study Shastra about God and the concepts of everything, because God is there behind everything, there is always satisfaction. So we'll just discuss about time, how people started understanding gradually, slowly, and one by one topic will pick up. So first is, people just understood time to be something that can be, or time is recorded through periodic movements of physical objects. So this is how we're discussing measuring time, how to measure time. The time recorded through periodic movements of physical object, that means the sun is, you know, going across the, earth is going across the sun, so that is 1 year. One orbit completed, 1 year. Or sun is rising and setting, 1 day is passed by. So that is the time. Or the earth is rotating around its axis, 1 day is passed by. So the movement and time, they go together. It's like that. So again, days are further divided to hours, minutes, seconds. And that can be observed through movements also. How do you observe hours? There are sand clocks or pendulum clocks, quartz. They move and they say, okay, 1 hour is passed by. Like that. So, but one may say, is it all time is about? But actually, it is not time. When you say, 1 hour is passed by or something like that, it is not time. It is simply saying something has moved from here to there. That's all. It is not time. It is just movements. Because what we perceive is movement in the clock or in the sun or earth or whatever. But we are not observing actually time. So how can you say it is time? In fact, time cannot be measured. Just like suppose I want to measure this Vyasa sun. Okay. Then I know it begins from here and it ends here. So I take a stick or meter rod or whatever, then I measure it. But time is something that has no beginning or no end. Then how am I going to measure it? Where will I start and where will I end? So what we see in the clock and everything is actually just certain movements of certain things, and that's all. So time itself is immeasurable, having no beginning or end. Actually, whatever I'm speaking is from an article from BTG magazine, 1984, by Mathuresh Prabhu. I don't know who is exactly this devotee, maybe Prabhupada disciple or somebody. But a very nice article, 1984, you can refer to. So in this point was raised in his article, that it has no beginning or end. How can you measure it? In fact, there is no instrument that has ever been created in this world which can register time. Just like you want to weigh something, you know, you have weight measurements. You put 1 kilo and we can weigh, register the weight. Or some X-ray radiations are there, you can take a photographic plate and you can understand, yes, there is some radiation. You can detect it. You can register it. But time cannot be registered. It cannot be detected. So, in fact, scientists like Albert Einstein were very mature. He thought that the passage of time is simply illusory. It is a wrong conclusion actually. So, in the beginning, any scientist or philosopher, person in this world, they try to observe time like this, movements of objects. And they thought, because it concerns the movement of objects, whatever we observe, everybody observes the same movement, therefore time in everybody's clock should read the same. Right? And that's what people thought till the early part of last century, 20th century. And that's the whole physics is actually based on this concept, that time is fixed in everybody's watches. Sun, movement of sun and everything can be observed same way by everyone. Whether you are in India or in America, whatever time you observe for this earth to take, go around the sun, will be same in India as well as in America. Therefore, time is fixed in everybody watches. That's how they thought about it. But actually, as the time progresses, or the history passed by, because scientists are very curious to know about things, at one point of time, they wanted to know, what is the speed of the light? Now, I'm discussing all these things because this has a relevance with the Shastra. Don't think it has no relevance. I'll come to that point. So, they try to understand the speed. This is from, I'm discussing again from Sadaput Prabhu's book, God and Science. Actually, he has written so many nice literatures, very, very lucidly. I must appreciate because recently he passed away. But his gifts are very, very worthwhile for a scientific outlook of this world. Just for example, I have studied these subjects like quantum mechanics and all, 2 semesters in college, universities. But after reading few lines from his articles, I understood and appreciated the subject much more than what I did in 1 year. That is the power of his writing, you can say like that. And he is discussing this concept of time in this book, where he was saying that till last part of the 20th century, they thought time is like same. But when they tried to understand the speed of light, they understood it need not be the same. I'll explain it in a simple language. How is it so? Suppose you are standing in a local train station, not in the train, you are standing in a local train station. And this Rajdhani Express comes from Bombay Central and just passes you by very fast. So you'll observe that it is passing by very fast. Now suppose your friend is sitting in a fast local train and he is also traveling along with Rajdhani Express. What speed he will observe compared to you? He will observe a slower speed, isn't it? We will observe the train is passing very fast, but for him, Rajdhani Express will go very slow, slower than us. That is called relative speed. Now just replace Rajdhani Express by a beam of light coming from Bombay Central. So sometime in the very dark night, we switch on a torchlight and we see the light is actually just going, you know. It's going into the darkness or falls on a wall. You can observe that it is going. So it is traveling. That means it has a speed. Just imagine that the light is coming from Bombay Central Station, a beam of light gushing through. And suppose somehow or other you can observe it is going at a certain rate, at a certain speed. And you observe it. And your friend who is traveling a local fast train, he will also observe it passing by. Now he should observe that light should pass slower than what we observe from a platform, isn't it? Isn't it? It's clear? It's a very simple thing. But what scientists observe, no matter how fast you travel, how slow you travel, in which direction you travel, the light speed always came to be the same. It was never different. It should be different, but it was never different. So that perplexed them quite a lot for decades, practically. Nobody could come out with the understanding what it is. Of course, Einstein, he came out with a solution. That's why he's the biggest scientist, thoughtful person. Actually, he edited the equations given by Newton. People thought, like all of you studied in 10th standard, 8th standard nowadays, 8th or 9th standard, they teach all these equations of Newton, Newton laws of motions, very simple equations. It appears as if they're eternal truth. But actually, Einstein said they are wrong. He edited them. And he said, because you think that time in your clock and the person sitting in the local train reads the same, therefore speeds are different, isn't it? But if the time recorded in your watch and the person sitting in the fast train is different, then the speed will be same for the light. Are you getting the point? Because speed is distance by time. If distance by time is same for light, that means distance object is different definitely. Therefore, time has to be different so that the ratio is same. A simple thing. So he said, therefore, time observed in different watches is different if they are traveling at different speed. He brought out this fantastic conclusion. And that's what relativity of time. And he proposed something called twin paradox. This twin paradox is like that. Suppose a twin is born to a certain mother, and one of the baby is packed in a space shuttle, and he travels into the space at very high speed of the light, almost to the speed of light. And in his watch, when it 20 years passes by, he comes back to this earth. And what he would observe, according to Einstein, is that thousands of years would pass by here. His brother would be dead, his sons would be dead, his sons and sons, everybody will be dead, and the city may not be there. Many things would pass by. This is called relative time. In his watch, it is 20 years, but here it is millions of years. Why? Because he is traveling at very high speed. So these concepts, his theories indirectly, so these are the conclusions. And there is no way to actually experiment it. No way to find it. But we can see in our Puranas, in our Vedic texts, such concepts are already existing. Like, I'll read one of these articles. Sadabodh Prabhu writes that there is one pastime in Srimad Bhagavatam, and I'll just read it. Here is a story related in Srimad Bhagavatam. Taking his own daughter Revati, Kakudmi, went to Lord Brahma in Brahmalok, which is transcendental to the three modes of material nature, and inquired about a husband for her. So the king took his daughter to Brahmalok. Now we should not bother how he went to Brahmalok. Then it will spoil the whole concepts. He had means to go, so he went. This is the problem with, you know, scientific people. So taking his own daughter Revati, Kakudmi went to Lord Brahma in Brahmalok, which is transcendental to the three modes of material nature, and inquired about a husband for her. So he wanted a husband for her, and he thought best person to consult is Brahmaji. So now what happened? Lord Brahma was engaged in hearing musical performances by the Gandharvas and had not a moment to talk with him. So even he didn't have one second to talk to him because he was hearing some musical performances. So therefore, Kakudmi waited. And at the end of the musical performances, that is around 1 hour, he offered his obeisances to Lord Brahma and thus submitted his long-standing desire. After hearing his words, Lord Brahma, who is most powerful, laughed loudly and said to Kakudmi, O king, all those whom you may have decided within the core of your heart to accept as your son-in-law have passed away in the course of time. 27 Chaturyugas have already passed. Those upon whom you may have decided are now gone. And so are their sons, grandsons, and other descendants. You cannot even hear about their names. So this is what a small... Now people think Puranas are old literatures, mysticism and all, and something very difficult to understand and appreciate. But here you see just a concept which is already existing in Srimad Bhagavatam, but scientists are now beginning to understand. Now you may say, what are the equations? I heard so many things. How to just a story. What are the equations to understand everything? One may ask like that. One may demand like that. But we should understand the purpose of the book, Shastras, are different from the purpose of scientific books. The purpose of scientific books, as I said, to observe, understand, experiment and exploit. But whereas purpose of Shastra is not to exploit, but to be detached and go back to spiritual world. So therefore, they do not give the details, because giving details is also dangerous. Like mystic yogis are given to those who are very, very self-controlled, will not misuse it. But just imagine, like as children would always imagine, suppose I have this yogic power, then I can go to any sweet shop and when nobody is there, I can pick up as much as I want in disguise, you know, nobody will notice me, and eat as much as I like. So that is the tendency. If I have a desire for sense gratification, if you have power, that will be immediately utilized for sense gratification. So Shastra just give. Yes, things are like this. But if you want to go back to Godhead, give it up. So no details are given in the Shastra. Whereas in science, details are very much emphasized, because unless details are there, how can you exploit and enjoy? The purpose is different. Therefore, we should not look for any equations and whatsoever in the Shastra, but rather accept it with faith, and we know that they are not wrong. Like one example I gave here. So when Einstein understood that time is relative, it was like a big miracle. A lot of discussion went on it. And very few people understood also. Could not understood. Very few understood. And another aspect that came along with this theory is that Sadaputra was saying here, is time and space essentially are the same thing. That is another very difficult concept to digest. And suppose I have a 3D object, I can project it into a 2D object, just like movies. What movies does? They take picture of 3D objects and project it or map it into a 2D object. And you can see. Because the geometric nature of both is same. Both are space related. Geometric nature is same. But time's geometric nature is actually different for a layman. But he says they're not different, they're same. But time can be mapped into space, and space can be mapped into time. So this is something very difficult to appreciate. And he says, therefore, the passage of time is illusory, just like I said in the beginning. Time is just what the clock read, he says. He says so because he has understood in a deeper meaning of it in his own way. That means everything, past, present, future, everything is fixed according to his, in a coordinate map or in a space map, everything is fixed. One end, there is a fertilized egg. The another end, there is a diseased body. Dead body or a corpse. Everything is decided. So this theory sometimes gives certain concepts which are very difficult to accept, even from religious point of view, because it questions the free will, whether free will is there or not. It questions. Questions comes like, if it is illusory, passage of time is illusory, then who is the person who is experiencing that illusion? If it is everything is decided just like a fixed coordinate, everything is there, who is experiencing? And if, Sadaputra writes, if these two questions can be adapted into this particular theory of Einstein, then we can say much more, like what the Purana says, like Trikalagya. Trikalagya means one who can know past as well as future. Yes, future is determined, but an experienced person who is experiencing, conscious being, if he has certain power, then he can actually see the future. Trikalagya. Such concepts are there. They say you can use a time machine and go future and past and see what is happening or what happened, but you cannot change anything. It is all fixed on the coordinates. But here, Trikalagya concept is a little different. You can know past, future, but you can change using free will, being a conscious person. So these are the concepts which Sadaputra writes very, very nicely. And another aspect of this theory is that as a person travels at very speed of light, his space will be squeezed or his length will be reduced, something like that will happen. So a time space travel at very high speed not only changes the concept, the measurement of time, but it also changes the way space is. Now, this is something another nobody can understand it. For a layman, it is very difficult to understand. But then again, Sadabodh Prabhu quotes another instance from Srimad Bhagavatam where he describes such similar concept that how space is different in different places. I'll just read it again. He said once in Mahabharata, Narada Muni gives Maharaj Yudhishthir a description of the assembly hall of Lord Brahma on Brahmalok. He is describing his assembly hall. Who? Narada Muni to Maharaj Yudhishthir. And he says like this: it is not possible to describe it as it really is, he is saying. It is not possible to describe it because he is describing certain space. He is saying, it is not possible to describe it as it is really is. King of the people, he says, you are the king of the people, Yudhishthira Maharaj. For from instant to instant, it has another indescribable appearance. That was the assembly hall. Instant to instant, it has another indescribable appearance. So therefore, because you are king of people, I cannot explain it to you, he is saying. Never before have I seen such beauty. Then he says, I know neither its size nor its structure. Now can you imagine assembly hall without structure, without beams and cross beams? That's what engineering is about here. Without these things you cannot have any assembly hall. He says, I cannot see its structure. The hall is very comfortable. So there is no structure, but it is comfortable. Just imagine there is no beams, no cross beams, but still it's comfortable. He says, but nevertheless, the hall is very comfortable, king. Neither too cold nor too hot. When one enters it, one no longer is hungry, thirsty or weary. So if you have to give a class there, no need to keep water. It is as though it is made up of many different shapes, all very colorful and luminous. No pillars support it. It is eternal and knows of no decay. It is self-luminous beyond the moon and sun and the flame-crested fire. Maybe he is referring to this radiation zone. So in this way he is saying that how space is also very peculiar as we go higher. So I don't know how much time I have. That is a long way. But anyway, so basically what Einstein observed, it is relative and certain concepts came up which there is no way to experiment, but such relevant stories are there in the Srimad Bhagavatam which are true. But how, this is how the scientists try to understand time, although they have not able to capture it properly. But how the devotees who study Srimad Bhagavatam, how do they understand time? I'll describe it in briefly. Like Krishna says, time stands above all relative effects, employing its various chakras to shape physical world. So what is time described in Vedic scripture is called Kala Chakra. It is not just Kala, time. Time always comes with two words, Kala Chakra. This chakra refers to the weapon of the Lord Vishnu, wheel weapon. And indirectly, it is saying that time is energy of the Lord. Now, no scientist actually ever thought that time could be energy, form of energy. They thought it's just a thing which is passing by and we need it because we want to observe and do so many things. Just like, not just time is energy is not difficult to understand, because there are certain concepts in science, among scientists, which like gravitational force, gravity. It is energy, but there is no way to detect it. Just like I said, time cannot be detected by any instrument. So there are other aspects in science which cannot be detected, yet it is accepted as a form of energy. Similarly, if one actually accepts time as energy, then we can see time forces things to happen. Time actually forces. Time affects in such a way that things pass or moves in cyclic manners. Not just it happens, but it happens in a cyclic manner. Like we have seasons, we have months, we have weeks, just happen in a cyclic way. You know, Monday to Sunday, then again, Monday to Sunday, like it goes on like that. Chakra. And time is relative. That is also there in Vedic concept. I said some stories, but we can understand how in higher planetary system, time is moving slow. Like Brahmaloka, 1 year we know, Gita says, 1 year is, 1 day of Brahma is so many years in earthly planets. Many, many years. So how it is slow, we can understand that this chakra is actually moving like a, you can say like a whirlpool. You know, whirlpool. I've seen the top part is moving slow. But as you go below and below gradually, the speed is more. Right? So the time in hellish planets, lower planets, is very fast. Moves very fast. But on higher planet it moves slow. And the effect is also slow. Therefore, the old age is, you know, coming very slow and things like that. So it is relative in the sense it passes slow at certain point and its effects, the energy's effect. The willful, you know, gives both the example. It gives the time as energy and time as an effect. Effect is slow and energy is felt more in the lower part. And this chakra weapon or the kala chakra, the other aspect, it forces the movements and also it destroys. So energy has two aspects. It forces things to happen and it destroys. Therefore Krishna says, time I am the destroyer of everything. Of course, this chakra, this cyclic, also time also creates and sustains and then destroys. And creation may give us hope that is something is going to happen good. But actually this is a false hope, because ultimately destruction is the final world, final word. So therefore, time as destruction is more appropriate than say creation. Creation and sustenance is there, but they're all illusory. And during creation and sustenance, there are so much misery is also involved, which is also caused by time. And every happiness is started by time and it is ended by time also, so that you are no more happy here forever, like that. So everyone follows a Kala Chakra. Everything. There is a Kala Chakra for Earth, for Sun, for Moon, for hellish planets, for Brahmaloka. And everybody has to follow this chakra. And when the chakra is one round, the life is finished. So that's how Vedic literature explained time. Kala Chakra. But one who wants to come out of this Kala Chakra, like Prahlad Maharaj is saying, I am crushed again and again by this wheel of time, past, present and future. Birth, death, old age, disease, birth, death, old age, disease, like it goes on. And with every cycle, we are crushed again and again in that cycle. And how can one overcome? By surrendering to the Lord, who is the controller of this energy. He can withdraw it if he wants, anytime. And Prabhupada gives the example of government puts somebody in jail, and if he wants, he can release him. Similarly, if one surrenders to the Lord, understanding how it works, understanding its aspects in various ways, Bhagavatam is that's why wonderful, because it not only tells about things, but it tells about the solutions. Proper understanding and proper solutions. So when one surrenders to the Lord, he can come out of this Kala Chakra. Just as I said, it's a willful. As you go up, the effect is lesser and lesser. But to really go up, penetrate this universe and go back to spiritual world, the effect is zero. Nil. So that's how also this Shastra says, the Brahma Samhita, Brahmaji who is staying in Brahmaloka is saying about time in spiritual world. He says, Nimishadaksha nahi, what is that? Nimishadaksha va vrijati nahi yatrapi samayaha. That in spiritual world, even a half a moment past cannot cause any effect. What is somebody says, okay, I'm just living 20 years in my youth. Time seems to now have no effect on us. But after 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, we'll see the effect. There it is said, even half a moment cannot have any effect on anyone, any of the pastimes of the Lord Krishna and his associates. So time is there. So here time creates, sustains and destroys. There, time only sustains. There is no creation, no destruction. Only sustenance, only helps the pastimes of the Lord. That's all. So therefore, Krishna's inconceivable time energy also exists in the transcendental world, but instead of having a devastating effect, it has a sustaining effect. And anybody who actually surrenders to the Lord can overcome this effect of time in this world and get the benefit of time in spiritual world. So, Hare Krishna. So it's time for service. Thank you very much. Please forgive me if I make you made something unnecessary. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Taigar Premanande Hari Hari Bol.